I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, now the injuries have finally taken their biggest toll with the Buccaneers. We know all about the defensive backs, just the rotating, you know, secondary that they've had from game one with Sean Murphy Bunting dislocating his elbow. You've had Jordan Whitehead in and out. Now he's out at the time. Of course, Mike Edwards is suspended. The other day, I think Jamal Dean got a concussion. I mean, it just continues on and on. And even Will Golston, the defensive lineman, he's got sort of a patellar tendon situation. But the worst injury that they have had, they finally sustained. And I knew it the minute it sort of presented itself. I was there. I watched the struggle, the pain of one Bruce Arians. That's right. Bruce Arians sort of, I don't know, having a tough time getting off the field, for one, at Mercedes Stadium, and then to the podium. So, you know, I had to ask him. We were talking about injuries. We were talking about all these guys that are nicked up, and I said, hey, how's the old coach doing there? And he goes, not good, man. he says, I strained my Achilles. He thinks he did something to his Achilles, short of tearing it, I hope, while he was running to lose some weight. Wait a minute.
What?
See, yeah, I hope he feels better. Listen, I'm not trying to make fun of another guy's pain, because he truly was in pain. All I can say is Bruce is a little bit older than me. Not as much as some people think, but he's a little bit older. First of all, what do you mean you're running? You don't run at 69 years old, right? Unless somebody's chasing you with a weapon. Like, where are you? You're running? What are you running on? A treadmill?
I would hope.
I know, but like, is it a, they got this thing, you know, for rehab purposes that's sort of a zero gravity type. They get like one of these treadmills in a pool at One Buck Place. I hope he's running on that, because I can't imagine at any age, really. I don't like to run, period, but I used to run a lot. But you're not going to see me run probably ever again, unless it's an accident. I'm surprised that he actually did that to himself. But he's like everybody else over there. They still got a ton of injuries. Kind of optimistic, I guess, about Dean. He thinks maybe he'll make it out of the protocol by Sunday against Buffalo. And Richard Sherman. Yeah. Big Sherm has a chance to get to make it back. Remember, they signed him off the couch after Sean Murphy Bunting got hurt. He came in 12 days without a training camp, with only two practices for that matter, dude went out and played three games.
Two and a half.
Two and a third. Two and a third in 12 days. By the time he got to the third game, the hamstring said, nah, I'm done. This is too much. And so he pulled his hamstring. And then he worked his way back from that. And then they go to Washington, and he's ready to go. And then in warm-ups, he hurt his calf muscle. That's a sign from, you know, your body, if you want to listen to it, that says, yeah, what are we doing here? Like, you know, are we going to play football or what? But he's apparently got that back in shape now. And, you know, they've got some corners. I mean, they're getting the corners back, obviously, with Murphy Bunting. They think Dean will be okay. Of course, Carlton Davis came back, played great. You know, he had a couple pass defensed and was active, was all over the field. And so they got their three starting corners if they need them. They're a little thin at safety, though, with Jordan Whitehead out. Obviously, Mike Edwards is suspended with the whole COVID issue. So guess what? Richard Sherman, as he tries to come back from that calf injury, and Bruce Arians sounded fairly optimistic that he might, he's going to work at safety a little bit. He's going to do a little safety play, which is not uncommon. You know, if you look at some of the corners throughout the league as they got older, including Rondé Barber, who might, you know, should be in the Hall of Fame, might actually get there. They moved to safety late in their careers.
Some would have said that Richard Sherman was playing safety when he played the three games at cornerback for the Bucs, as loose as the coverage was.
He was a little off, yeah. I mean, yeah. Technically, he was as deep as some of the safeties were, that's for sure. Look, don't make fun of his 11 tackles and his fumble recovery. I mean, that
– No, hey, you know, the Bucs needed him. The Bucs needed him, and he stepped in and played adequately enough and helped them. I mean, they were so thin.
They won games, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not making fun of it. I just – it's –
Well, a little bit.
A little bit.
They won some games, and he was not – he'd tell you he wasn't himself. And then, of course, his body wasn't ready for the rigors of playing an NFL season. You know, and then to prove that, he got himself back in shape, allegedly, and then they went out to Washington, and the dude got hurt in warm-ups. You hate that, right? Like, so-and-so was out for the game. You're like, wait, we haven't started the game. But yeah, Sherman's body has been kind of betraying him a little bit. But they need him back because of the safety situation. And the Whitehead thing doesn't sound good. That's a calf injury. You get these soft tissue injuries. I don't know if that's something that's going to land him on IR or not. They really haven't said. But he did say Sherman's a possibility. Bruce Arians said that he's going to start learning safety also. You know, having him here as a veteran player, he can play a lot of positions. So they're going to look at it at the end of the week and see if he's a fit, because you just, you know, even if it, and this is the thing, it's not like they're going to start Richard Sherman at safety. Don't get this twisted. So why would you cross train a guy like that? Well, because you might need him to get you through a game, get you out of a game, right? So if they're playing and they have a 21-point lead, a 14-point lead, hell, a 7-point lead, and you get a couple guys down, can he get you to the next game without giving up big plays and that sort of thing? And I think he can. I mean, I think he's a smart enough football player.
Mm-hmm.
He'll pick it up quickly. And again, it's not that you're trying to get him on the field as a safety and that you think he's going to be one of your best. I mean, obviously, you know, if Whitehead's well, if Winfield Jr.'s well, you know, Andrew Adams is a backup, you've got a number of guys, but you're not looking to, you know, to reinvent the wheel here. But in as much as Sherman, you know, would be receptive to it, you'd let him try to do that. They got some other injuries, of course. I just want to talk about, like, this offense. We look at the snap counts, you know, and sometimes the snap counts are telling at the end of each game, right? And you kind of see who played, who didn't, and who played a lot and who didn't. And there's a dynamic going on. It's been going on for a couple of weeks with Brady, with the Bucs, this offense. I mean, yeah, he hit some fairly, you know, what you would call a deep ball over 20, 25 yards, whatever. Hit one to Mike Evans the other day. Gronk had a pretty good shot play. So it's not like Tom Brady's not looking down the field, right? But remember last year, it sure seemed like it was kind of bombs away, and maybe to his own detriment. But, like, Scotty Miller was a big part of this team. Made the biggest play, maybe the second biggest play in Bucs history, and the one in the NFC Championship game at the end of the first half, when he pulled it in for a touchdown, and, you know, the Bucs went way up with 21 points in the first half, and then they hung on to win. But, you know, Scotty was a big part of it. Tyler Johnson, I can remember an unbelievable catch he made on third down in New Orleans in the wild card game that they absolutely had to have, and he's been playing because Miller had been on IR. Now Miller's back, Johnson's back. But they're playing Breshad Perriman, and he played. It's sort of surprising. I mean, Perriman was a guy that was cut, signed with the Detroit Lions, the worst team in the NFL. Gave him like $2 million, I think, and then ends up getting cut before the season. So when you talk to Bruce Arians, like, you know, the other guy, of course, that's not playing is O.J. Howard, because Gronkowski's back and he doesn't really come off the field. Perriman was targeted three times. He had one catch for 5 yards. That basically matched Tyler Johnson. So if I'm those other guys, I'm going, let me get this straight. So I was good enough in Tom's first year to help you guys win huge games in New Orleans and other places, Green Bay, playoff games. But then we come back the next year and I can't get on the field? Like, something has shifted here to me. And what I think it is just Tom Brady has more control over this offense than he ever did. Certainly more than he did last year. You know, you don't see vertical shot after vertical shot after vertical shot. You know, you see him getting rid of the ball. There was a stat, Steve, the other day, and you know how offensive lines get a lot of credit and a lot of blame for what happens to the quarterback. The Bucs have thrown the ball more than any team in the NFL. Would it surprise you if I told you that Tom Brady has been sacked the least of any starter over a certain number of starts, whatever it is to qualify?
That's impressive.
That is, right?
If you've thrown the most passes, but you're sacked the mm-hmm. least,
yeah,
that's impressive quarterback play and offensive
yes,
line play.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you said that. Like, I'm not trying to take away from Donovan Smith, who I think is having his best year, Tristan Wirfs, who I think is a guy that's going to pull on a gold jacket one day. We know about Ryan Jensen, Ali Marpet, Alex Kappa, good, solid players. Some of those you could make Pro Bowl arguments for. You know, but nothing makes an offensive line better than a quarterback like Brady, who in this past week had an average release time of 2.1 seconds. 2.1. I don't know this to be true. I wonder if I could hang in front of somebody for 2 seconds before he threw the ball, if I could block for the guy. I mean, that's how good he is. That's how dialed in he is, right? And certainly your offensive line is helped by that. And I think they've gotten confident, and I think they've gotten better each week. And, you know, they've stayed together. They've knock on wood, you know, if you're a Bucs fan, they've been fairly healthy. But, man, have they protected Tom Brady. And you need to, right? I mean, that's the one we saw in Washington. Ali Marpet got beat inside, you know, and Brady on his second or third throw, he tried to get one out to Tyler Johnson, got absolutely destroyed. And from then on until now, it feels like he's been a real checkdown guy to me. You know, feels like he's just getting that ball out of his hands.
Yeah, you're not seeing the deep shots consistently.
No, no.
You know, the no risk it, no biscuit. When Jameis was here, you know, it was
right
down the field nonstop. Brady's first year it was. I mean, heck.
His first 3 quarters of the year of his first season, he was in tons of deep shots.
Well, there was no motion either. I mean, you see everything that's changed in the offense. They got to the bye last year and then added some more motion in so Brady could get better reads on the defense. And now you're seeing him check down a lot more and change out of plays more. And mm-hmm. and this has truly become Tom Brady's offense now.
It really has. And it's Tom Brady's offense. He's definitely I don't know what role Byron Leftwich plays. I'm not diminishing what he does. He's the play caller. But let's be honest, Tom Brady's calling plays. I still don't believe in my heart of hearts. Now, they knew that the Atlanta Falcons, you know, are one of the worst pass rush teams in the NFL. So they probably felt confident coming in that they could protect Tom. But, you know, every play is its own play, and you can have audibles, you can check. They went no huddle a lot, which means that it's a little harder to get the play in from the sideline, you know, that way if you're going to go huddle and line up right away. You kind of feel like that's sort of quarterback driven, but all you need to know is they threw 13 straight passes to open the game. I've never seen anything like it. And you know that Bruce Arians detests long drives. He hates the 12, 14, 16 play. Hates them. Because the more you have the ball per snap, the odds are increasing that, you know, it's sort of like playing cards, right? You're going to get a face card here if you just keep turning them over. You know, they just don't want that situation.
But you know who loves long drives? Your defense that's banged up.
That's true, and that's complimentary football. You make a great point. You make an absolutely great point. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's some thought given to that, whether it's Brady or Arians or Leftwich. But you just didn't see that last year. You didn't really see that sort of – you saw a lot more explosion. You know, and then they're doing stuff in the lineup. I mean, like I said, Rashard Perriman, 59 snaps. It's just so bizarre to me. You know, while guys like Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller can't get on the field. So, I mean, that too, like you ask Arians, why was that? He goes, well, he had a really good week of practice, you know, a really good week of practice, which means, translation, Tom was connecting with the guy. Very explosive player, obviously, gives you a little bit in the blocking game. But to take those other two guys off the field and not play them, and you're already not playing O.J. Howard, this offense has come down to the Brady bunch, the guys that Tom Brady, and yes, he loves Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, those guys are, you know.
Well, Godwin caught 15 passes Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he worked him out. Yeah, he worked him over and out. I mean, like, he threw it to him on every down. 51 attempts. So he got 15. And, of course, 99 yards, I think, is what Mike Evans had. So he had some big plays, too. But if you look at the last few games or just the way the Bucs are doing this, it's Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, and before he got, you know, hurt and now suspended, Antonio Brown. Those are the three guys that weren't here when he arrived. Isn't that interesting that they're, you know, Leonard Fournette for the last previous two games for this one was just the all everything back and, you know, throwing it to him and running it to him. And, you know, you just think of that. And, you know, things have changed, man. Things have changed. It's Tom Brady's world. I mean, always has been. But
well, we've always known that, you know, if Brady doesn't trust you, he's not going to throw to you.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's Evans and Godwin, who are all world receivers.
Yes.
And the three guys he brought in.
Gronk, who's a Hall of Famer. Fournette, mm-hmm. who he loves. Mm-hmm. And then Antonio Brown, if they ever get him back.
A Hall of Famer as well.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. Three of those guys. So, you know, I think Mike Evans is on that career path. You could see him pull on a gold
jacket. Godwin could
one day.
Be. I mean, it's a little early still, but.
Yeah, but you don't know. Sure. He's already moving his way up the charts with respect to the Bucs receiving records and things like that. Yeah, so pretty amazing. I mean, they're, you know, these are the guys he's settled on. And look, Gronk and Brady, I mean, for what Gronk's been through, he's you know, 32 years old. He's not an old person by any means, but 32, retired from the game, like out of the game. I'm done. Spent a year away from it. Came back. I talked into coming back. Wasn't in any kind of shape. Still managed to make it through every game. Wins a Super Bowl. Two touchdowns. Two tutties. Right? Comes back this year, and he's in even better shape. And he ends up with, I think, two touchdown passes in each of the first two games. He had like, or three games. He had four touchdown passes and, you know, got two in two games. And then came the game against Los Angeles, against the Rams. And that injury was so significant that I don't think people realize just how dangerous it was. Certainly the Bucs didn't, or they wouldn't have let him finish the game. He got stuck from behind. We now know that he had several cracked ribs. You know, he had a partially punctured lung. And then, you know, after a few weeks of trying to heal that up, he comes back too early against the Saints, and he's done in six plays, you know, because he starts to have, you know, essentially like back spasm, things like that. So I was thinking this could be it for Gronkowski. We may not see him the rest of the year. Not only have we seen him, all you see is him in the end zone. I mean, it's like old times for those guys. It really is. I mean, they are riding again like they did in New England all those years. It's really something to watch. He brings so much to this team, Gronkowski does. So that's been fun. That's been fun to watch.
Yeah, what, number two all time now on the regular season touchdown list between a duo, just behind what, Peyton and Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison, the Gronkowski and Tom Brady have 90 regular season touchdowns. 90. That's a buku, a lot of touchdowns, man. It really is. And three of his other catches the other day were on third down. That is such an important down to have a guy like Gronkowski that you can target, and he can move the sticks for you, and you get three more plays, and then three more plays, and so on and so forth. And that's been his role. You know, when Brady needs a big play, when he needs somebody to bail him out in a tight window or whatever it is, that's who he looks for, and it's working. And it's working almost as good as it did, you know, all those years in New England, which is, again, a testament to how these guys are in shape, how well they take care of their bodies, just how in sync they are with their chemistry. It's really fun to watch. I you know, watched a lot of bad Buccaneer football, like most of you that are listening, for 12 years, and you just never saw that. It's next-level kind of stuff. But, yeah, Brady has his guys on the field, and they're going to be the ones that he's going to roll with. So it's a They're in great position, man. They're 9-3. That matches the best record in franchise history. The last team to do it, though, it doesn't guarantee you much because there's, you know, one of the team, the 9-3 teams, was the one that went on and won Super Bowl 37. The last 9-3 team was 07, and they lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion New York Giants in a wild card game at home. And that was the one that, you know, Jeff Garcia played in. And but the Bucs can clinch. They need the win over Buffalo, which, as we're doing this podcast, they're locked in kind of a one-point battle with New England. Just a terrible day up there in the frozen tundra.
Buffalo may want to come to Tampa today just to thaw out.
Right? Right? I wonder how drastic, seriously, like how drastic that must be, like to be up there and it's just Arctic blast, right? Like the wind's howling like 60 miles an hour at times. You go from that to, it's supposed to be like low to mid 80s on Sunday.
Yeah, I was just checking that as we were talking here. Yeah, 80.
It's going to be warm.
Saturday high is going to get up to like 87.
I know, it's gross. It's so gross. I'm staying inside. I don't even want any part of that 87 stuff. Come on. It could be a cold front once in a while. It lasts more than 3 days. That's the thing about down here. It's like the old joke, right? You don't like the weather in Florida? Just wait 3 days. It'll change. But it will, and it does. So it's going to be – this is a big week. You know, the Bills, like I said, they're in a dogfight as we do this podcast with the Patriots, but they certainly need to win. There are a lot of people pointed to this as a Super Bowl, you know, sort of a Super Bowl preview. I think people are finally figuring out – I was watching all the, you know, so-called news shows – and people are finally figuring out that, you know, the Bucs got that look to them, right? I mean, Brady is like 67-17 career in December, so it's not like he loses any games to begin with. If they can get past the Buffalo Bills, you get past those guys, I don't think New Orleans has enough firepower to hang with you this year, even though you know, whoever they run out there is going to give you hell, right? Taysom Hill, you name it, doesn't seem to matter. But those are the two key games. Those are the games right there. After that, I can't imagine them stubbing their toe against any of those remaining teams.
Well, you may clinch the division this weekend.
I think you could with a little bit of help. But regardless, once you do clinch it, you know, you got a great opportunity to reap home field advantage and all those things. And, you know, you're in good position. I mean, this team has put itself in a really good position when you think about it. It's only happened two other times in franchise history. And one time they won a Super Bowl, and the other time they lost four in a row, and John Gruden got fired. Surprised us all. But 9-3 is a good place to be. And
actually, I stand corrected. You may not be able to clinch the division this weekend because the Falcons play the Panthers. So
yeah, you need help. Well, no.
If they tie, I guess you could. Because one of them is going to go to 6-7.
No, you don't even need that. You need a couple things. You need and I wrote about this. Basically, with a win over Buffalo and the Saints, they can do it themselves.
Well, the Saints, I'm saying this weekend. Right. This weekend, but I thought there was a
weekend,
chance. But with the Falcons and Panthers playing, I didn't know.
The Falcons beat the Panthers, because you have swept the Falcons.
That's true. You haven't played the Panthers yet. Yeah, that's true.
So head-to-head, you got the Falcons. So if the Falcons beat the Panthers and the Jets were to upset the Saints,
yep,
you're the NFC champions if you beat Buffalo.
Okay.
You could do it this week.
Yep.
But those two things have to happen. I mean, it's possible. It's only two things. But win the next two, obviously, you're in because you knocked the Saints
out.
Which
isn't it because, you know, for a couple of years now, it's been like the NFC South is the toughest division in football.
Oh, yeah. Not this year.
And all of a sudden it could be clinched in week, what are we, 13 coming up on?
You could have three games left. Yeah.
13 or 14, I guess it is, maybe.
If you clinch it, well, they're, yeah.
The 13th game, I think it's week 14, but yeah.
It's week 14, but they're playing 17. So you could clinch it and have, what would it be? At that point, you're 10-3, right? The next win, you're 10-3. So I guess you still have four games left? Yeah, there's five left now. Yep. You have four left. Mm-hmm. You could go 14-3 potentially, which would be one hell of a thing. And I think 14-3 probably gets you the number one seed. I think somewhere along the line, maybe Green Bay is going to lose. Maybe the Cardinals will.
The Cardinals schedule, they're hosting the Rams this week.
Right.
They go at the Lions, and they host the Colts, at the Cowboys, and host the Seahawks.
Yeah, those are tough games. I mean, Russell Wilson just came back and won a game against San Francisco. So, one home game minimum, but you really want at least two home games. And what you really, really want, tell me what you want, what you really
the bye.
You want the bye. You want the best record in the NFC. Then you're just playing one game to go to the championship, right? Mm-hmm. And in that case, you'll be hosting it because you'd have home field. If you have the number one seed and you get the bye, that means you've got home field. So you play one game against somebody, and then the next game is to go to the Super Bowl. To go to the Super Bowl. Just two games at home. And as good as they've been at home, the last 2 years they haven't lost. Man, that would be a phenomenal position. But I'm telling you, get by these next two games. And you can't just say that, right, because they're each difficult. It's hard to win in this league. But you get by Buffalo, you get by the Saints, you don't have anybody on your schedule you can't beat and beat handily. Carolina twice, obviously the Jets, you know, so you should take care of business there, but we'll see. We got a long way to go, as Bruce Arians says, that we would be in our last quarter, if it weren't for the 17th game, but that's the way it goes. By the way, I was watching this game. They're in the fourth quarter now. Mac Jones has attempted one pass. He's 1 for 1. How about that? It's one of these days where the wind is howling and you can't really throw it that well, but 1 for 1.
Well, and not only can you not throw it well, they're running it down Buffalo's throat.
They're running it right down their throat. And I was going to say, the Bills better strap it on, because I tell you, Leonard Fournette, that's all they're going to do is hand that ball off against these guys. That's what I would do. They're getting exposed. Their defense, is the run defense in particular, is just not good. So I think they probably – Bucks probably went to school. You know, it's one thing to watch the tape and you get all 22 and all that. It's kind of good to sit back and watch it, you know, the broadcast version. You just kind of see things. But I'm sure the Bucks are doing that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, so Tampa Bay Lightning, has been a good couple of days for them. 6-1 win in Philadelphia, right?
7-1 on Sunday.
7-1?
Yep, they won in a shootout in Boston on Saturday.
That's right.
So, but Taylor Radish, his first two goals over the weekend.
Right.
Boris Kachuk, his first goal on Sunday.
The kids are playing well, man. The kids are starting to pop out.
They're playing extremely well. I mean, you know, going in the season, the whole question was, how do you replace that third line?
Right.
How do you replace the energy line and what they bring you on the penalty kill and shifts after goals and to start periods and finish periods? And that kid line of Colton, Kachuk, and Radish has played extremely well. I mean, you notice them every game. They have chances every game. It's amazing it took them this long to get their first goal, to be honest, both Kachuk and Radish, as well as they've played and as many chances they've had. But I really like what are they Gord Goodrow Coleman right now? No, not necessarily. But the things you look for in that line and the energy and offensive zone presence and the forecheck, and you just really love what you're seeing out of them. And they're kids, and they're getting better, and they're learning. And they're getting tremendous experience, and with some of the injuries, they're playing even more time at times. And you're seeing John Cooper give them shifts on the penalty kill and giving them more responsibility late in games and in close games. And it's fun to watch and see these kids develop. And it's all good news for the Lightning moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, they got some depth and some young players, and that's always exciting. And their backup goaltender got a win.
Yeah, Brian Elliott played well. Actually, he kind of kept them in that game on Sunday to start, and then the offense kind of took over after that and dominated. But the first 6 minutes or so, you know, Philly had lost, 7 in a row going into that game.
Yeah.
Took it to the Lightning, and Brian Elliott shut him out there, and they ended up losing 7-1, and that got their coach, Alain Vigneault, fired on Monday.
Mm. You hate that. But they have been playing well. And Elliot is from Wisconsin. I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. I just found out. Mm-hmm. So it's from the University of Wisconsin. So got a huge fan now of the backup goaltender here in my home.
Lightning tonight get to play Montreal for the first time since the Stanley Cup final. Montreal's Montreal. A really bad team this year.
Are they?
They are. They've already fired the general manager, Mark Bergevin. They have like 6 wins on the season. They are not a good team right now. So Lightning should, you know, look to be taking 2 points tonight in Montreal, and then you get to go face Toronto, who's been who's ahead of you in the standings and playing pretty well. So they'll play them on Thursday.
And then in college football, we got some coaching news. They finally got around to firing their coach in Miami because that's where they're all but signed, sealed, and delivered, Mario Cristobal, right, from Oregon?
Yes, he has signed, a 10-year deal there. He's coming home to Miami. So they let Manny Diaz go.
Let me ask you this. I know he played at Miami. I know Miami is home. I know that that's Mama called, and he's probably got folks and everybody there. Just straight up, is Oregon or Miami a better college football job to coach right now?
If Miami's going to have the dedication to it and the resources, Miami is. You're in a recruiting-rich state.
Yeah.
The amount of talent, if you can just do what Schnellenberger and Jimmy Johnson.
Build a wall around South Florida.
You know, keep most of those South Florida kids home.
Yeah.
Bring the swag back to the U. You know, it's a lot easier than recruiting kids to Oregon. I mean, the uniforms are great in Oregon, and the facilities from Phil Knight and Nike are phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it's still convincing kids from elsewhere to come to Oregon. It's a lot easier to keep a kid home.
That's true. All of that is true. And yet, I think you have a better path to a national championship in the Pac-12.
When's the last time the Pac-12 got in the college football playoff?
Well, they haven't for a while, but I'm just saying. I think I do think that it's much easier to win the Pac-12 than it is. Well, I shouldn't say that. The AC, I mean, although this is unbelievable to me. How is it that Miami has not won the ACC since they joined, I don't know, a long time ago, and you've had teams like Pittsburgh? I think Duke might have won it one year. I'm not sure for football, but it's crazy that, you know, you talk about getting to a national championship and all this. First, you have to get past Clemson. They've been the you know, the mountain that nobody could climb. And then this year, you know, they did not have a good season, to say the very least. Maybe that's the outlier, maybe not. But Florida State has been down. So many teams down in that league.
This year the championship game was Pitt and Wake Forest.
Yeah, Wake Forest, ladies and gentlemen, and they were good, you know, compared to the rest of the ACC. So I don't know what's happened in that league. I you know, at least the Pac-12, you got USC, the occasional UCLA if Chip Kelly gets it going. I think you got a chance at least. Look, they beat Ohio State early in the season. They couldn't back that up, but I don't know. Just on like face value, where those two programs are at, I think Oregon is probably a better program right today. But I understand completely why he's going back to the U. And look, how many people have tried to restore it? Right, there's been a number of guys that have tried to restore that program, haven't been able to. So I worry about Miami. But he's a Miami guy, and maybe he can, you know, relate and have connections with coaches and keep some of those guys down there, because talent wins and there's a ton of them. There's no doubt about it. You know, down in South Florida, man, it's huge. What else we got in college football?
The Heisman Trophy finalists are out.
Oh, yeah. They've been announced, right?
Yes, there's 4 of them heading to New York. It's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, and Aiden Hutchinson.
You know, I'm glad Hutchinson, the only defensive player of that group, I'm glad he made it. I don't think he's going to win. I'd have no trouble with him winning. He is so dominant, and it's such a cool story that he broke his dad's record and holds a sack record now at Michigan. I think he's going to be a top 5 pick, maybe even earlier than that. He sort of reminds me of a little bit of J.J. Watt or T.J. Watt, one of those guys. Just really good pass rusher.
I know Gus Johnson on the broadcast the other night compared him to Jared Allen, a young Jared Allen.
That's a good one, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jared Allen had a ton of sacks. Oh, my gosh.
I think Todd McShay now has him number 1 on his draft board. But
number 1, okay.
I think Detroit's going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, probably.
Assuming they get the number 1 pick, they're only a half game ahead of both Jacksonville and the Texans at this point. So with their win on Sunday.
But he could go top 5 for sure, and I think he will, which is really good. I'm glad they got a defensive player. C.J. Stroud earlier in the year. 2-3 weeks ago, yeah, maybe. But this thing's over. It's over.
It's Bryce Young. Yeah.
It's Bryce Young. I mean, you can't you just put up 400 and 4 touchdowns on the number one team in the country, the number one defense in the country, and now you're playing for a national championship as a freshman.
He's a sophomore. He's a sophomore.
What, is he a sophomore now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They beat Auburn on that last drive. You know, he's had some Heisman moments already, but to me, it's got to be Young. Has to be.
I think it will be, yeah. I think C.J. Stroud will finish second, and then take your pick between Kenny Pickett and Hutchinson for third and fourth.
Right. And Pickett's been great, but again, Pitt, so, you know, not going to get the credit up there. So anyway, we've got the Bucks will be back in action here in a couple days. Yeah. They'll be at practice.
Forgot to mention the Jim McVay has done it again.
Oh, he did. Congratulations to Jim McVay. Jimmy, every year the matchups just get better, and you've got another one that's prime time type matchup between Arkansas and we are Penn State.
I don't think Arkansas has never been to the Outback Bowl.
They have not. They have not.
So you got a first time team, and Penn State hasn't been here in 10 years. So
they haven't been here in a while, and they travel. Ooh, they travel well.
Both teams but they shouldn't have problems selling tickets.
No, we are Penn State. You ever known anybody that went to Penn State?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have family members that have.
Dude, they're very proud of their education up there. No, seriously. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How many times they mentioned that they go into Penn State?
A lot.
Okay. I know. Yeah. They're very – apparently they do things better than anybody at that education. And, look, it's a fine institution, I'm sure, but they're really proud of their Penn State education. That's a horse collar tackle, as I'm watching. But, hey, it'll be good to see the Nittany Lions down here in Arkansas. Not Arkansas State, but Arkansas, the Razorbacks. So that'd be cool. Did it again. Congratulations, Jim McVay. The Outback Bowl, one of the longest, I think it's the longest reigning sponsor of any bowl game.
It's coming up on 30 years if it's not already. It's pretty
incredible,
close.
Right? Incredible that you would have one sponsor that long, but they do a great job. And, you know.
Gasparilla Bowl shouldn't have problems selling tickets either with UCF.
No,
versus Florida
UCF. That's phenomenal.
It's like a dream matchup for a bowl game.
I'm not going to say it's going to outdraw the Outback, but it could. You know,
the amount of local fans for both that nobody has to travel for.
No one has to travel. There's tons of Gator fans, and in UCF, they'll come over too.
Yeah,
it could be a really well attended game.
Absolutely.
The history. It'll definitely be the pinnacle of the history of the Gasparilla. Which hasn't been around that long, but that's, you know, just kind of a fluke, right? That Florida won their 6 games, and then UCF down the road. So that's a great matchup. I'm actually, it seems like an entertaining game to me. I wouldn't mind watching that at all. So what happens now? Napier doesn't coach that, right? I mean, the assistants.
He's there now and working, but yeah, the assistants will. That's traditionally what happens.
Yeah,
because he hasn't been around the team all year. He doesn't know the playbook, you know, everything else. So
you got to practice and, you know.
Now, I'm sure Napier's involved in a lot of the practices as far as getting an evaluation for next year. I mean,
sure.
The biggest advantage of a bowl game, the biggest
reason.
You
get a month of practice.
It's 3 extra weeks of practice that you're allowed.
Phenomenal. Yeah, that's such a huge advantage to look at your young players and your players in general. So, you have to win 6. I mean, you have to get in a bowl.
I mean, that's where, you know, Florida State this year isn't getting those extra practices. USF isn't.
That hurts.
You know, you really want those 3 weeks of practice. And you know, one of the reasons bowl games are such crapshoots when it comes to the outcome, and sometimes you see some lopsided outcomes that don't make sense,
right, is
the practices aren't geared towards winning that game.
That's correct.
They're geared towards preparing for next year. Your seniors aren't practicing that much.
That's right.
They are practicing some, and you do want a good showing, but this is about getting reps for the freshmen and the sophomores who haven't played much this year them involved in the practice. This is 3 weeks before you get to spring practice of preparing for next year. Because now, unless you're in the champ, if you're in the playoff, it's a different story. Those teams are practicing to win, period.
Right.
You know, your Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, they're not worried about getting reps for young guys in those practices. This is all about winning those games. But everybody else. You know, we saw Thibodeau in Oregon announce he's going pro and not playing in their bowl game. You're going to see a lot more guys like that.
You'll see that. And I don't have a problem with it. Unless you're playing in the national championship picture, I don't have a problem with a kid
Well, in his case, too, his coach has already left, too. So his coach isn't even there. Right. And Mario Cristobal is going to Miami. So
exactly. Hard to blame the player with what's at stake. So, okay. Well, let's do our mailbag segment and some mean tweets tomorrow.
Yep.
I still got those rolling in. Goodness gracious, folks. These are classics. You guys, over the weekend was really special. I was laying in Atlanta on my bed in my hotel room reading these things, man. It's just too funny to almost mention, but we'll do some of those. This is crazy.
Well, I'll leave you on this one. This is not a good stat, by the way. This is from ESPN Stats and Info.
Yep.
0-7 Texas Southern beat the Florida Gators, who are 20th ranked in basketball tonight, 69-54.
How did that happen?
Since 1980, the previous worst record by any team that defeated an AP-ranked opponent was 0-3, Louisville over Maryland on December 13th of 1980. Texas Southern was 0-7.
I don't have any clue how that could happen.
And beat them by 15. That's not good.
Yeah, I just don't know how that could happen. You just had to have jacked up a bunch of threes and missed them. I don't know how that could happen.
Actually, if I'm remembering the box score, went like 5 for 24 from three.
That sounds about right.
And then shot like 33%, 38% overall. Meanwhile, Texas Southern, actually, they didn't shoot a lot of threes, but they were shooting almost 60% from the field.
Yeah, they had to be hot, and you just had to be ice cold. Mm-hmm. And had 1,000 shots, but couldn't make any of them.
Yeah, I didn't see the game or anything, but I saw that stat.
That's a tough one. Yeah, they'll bounce back. They'll be all right. But still, good win for the other team. Come in there and knock off the Giants. That's nice. All right, so tomorrow when you want to send us your mailbag questions, like I said, we got a bunch already. I'll try to answer all of them. They're 100% correctly, but send them to us at SportsDayTB. You know the address because you've been emailing me all these mean tweets for all this last 2 weeks. Why am I even giving this out anymore? Or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com, and then, of course, you can reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud. You guys got that one. But, so we'll do that. Tomorrow, and then we're gonna have Matt Baker to sort of wrap up maybe the college football season if we're lucky.
And preview the playoff and the bowl games. And
yeah, we'll look at that. Heisman, he'll get his Heisman Trophy balloting in order for us. I think I know who he's gonna go. He published sort of his immediate list, not in order, but kind of listed some guys. You want to go to his Twitter feed and see that. So we'll talk to Matt. Army Navy game is this weekend. I think that's the college football sort of finale before the playoffs.
That's always an awesome game to watch.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the Bulls, it's one of my bucket list things. I would not mind going up there. I think that'd be really cool to go to one of those. So, lots coming up. Of course, the Bucks and the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagons like the Bills, who just missed a field goal. Now they're losing to the Patriots, who are going to go to the Super Bowl and play Tom Brady in SoFi Stadium. You know that's going to happen. Let's just mark it down now. It's Hollywood. It's a perfect Hollywood script. It's a perfect Hollywood Super Bowl. This is made to order, folks.
Patriots defense is good enough to get them there.
Absolutely. And Mac Jones is, attempted one pass tonight. So he's not going to screw it up. Look, could there be anything more demoralizing and on the other side more encouraging than to just say, we're going to turn, we're going to hand the ball off, we're going to block, we're going to tackle, and we're going to physically impose our will against you and you can't stop us. That's phenomenal. It really is. That's winning when the way you need to win. So kind of cool. But that game still has some time in it, so we'll see what happens. But thanks for listening. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow for Steve Versnick. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, buddy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.